From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, December 11th, and here are today's headlines. A flood watch has been issued for most of Vermont beginning today. Heavy rains and melting snow could cause rivers like Otter Creek at Rutland and the Winooski at Waterbury to rise and overflow their banks. Eric Miskowski is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Burlington. He said between 1.5 to 2.5 inches of rain is forecast for today.
Combined with a half inch to around 1.5 inches of snowmelt, that will lead to almost a 2 to 4 inches of liquid entering streams, entering rivers.
The flood watch covers the entire state except for Grand Isle County. The National Weather Service reminds motorists not to drive through flooded areas. For road conditions, dial 511 or visit newengland511.org. Flooding is also on the front burner of concern for the Scott administration, which is urging Congress to immediately pass federal disaster relief, providing millions of dollars for Vermont's farmers. State Agriculture Secretary Anson Tebbutt says these are tough times for farmers impacted by flooding over the last two summers. Tebbutt says roughly 60 farms still face serious cash flow issues because they didn't have crop insurance.
You know, they haven't seen that as well. It's millions of dollars in losses over the last 2 years. And some of the same farmers got hit twice. So that's significant. And there's some that, you know, got whacked the first time this year.
Senator Peter Welch says passage of a comprehensive federal disaster relief plan is his top priority before Congress adjourns late next week. Vermont's largest substance use disorder treatment facility is no longer accepting new patients using methadone. Valley Vista can't afford the cost of transporting patients to and from methadone clinics, a facility administrator told that to VT Digger. The decision was made after a disagreement with state regulators about transportation reimbursement. The state would only reimburse the cost if patients use transportation services contracted by the state, but Valley Vista says it currently transports patients itself due to efficiency and safety issues. Vista Valley and state regulators will meet this week for further discussion. The Vermont Human Rights Commission is asking lawmakers and the governor to nearly double its annual budget. Big Hartman is executive director of the commission, which investigates claims of workplace and housing discrimination. Hartman says their office is at a critical juncture.
Our investigative staffing level has remained stagnant for decades, but the demands upon our office have only increased.
Hartman says the commission has started turning away alleged discrimination cases because it doesn't have enough capacity to investigate them. And they say they'll keep asking the legislature to double the commission's staffing in order to keep pace with rising demand. And tis the season for end-of-year lists and wrap-ups. At the Fletcher Free Library in Burlington, librarians are analyzing data about the year's most popular books to see what they can learn about patrons' reading interests. Megan Butterfield is Fletcher Free's youth library manager. And yesterday on Vermont Edition's annual Winter Book Show, she discussed their most checked out books of 2024 with host Michaela LaFrac.
The most popular book in our collection last year was Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin.
I loved that book.
Which I don't read a lot of adult books, but I read that one and I loved it. Some other popular adult books are Tom Lake, Demon Copperhead, Funny Story, Remarkably Bright Creatures. The Women seems to be on here two times. I'm not actually sure how.
Many of the most borrowed children's books were written by Dave Pilkey. He is the author of the popular Dog Man and Cat Kid comic club series. Coming up, an ode of sorts to many of Vermont's long-lost ski areas. Vermont Public's Sabine Pooks visits a museum in Stowe, making sure that smaller, independent ski hills that may be gone now are not forgotten. That's after this. There are about 20 commercial alpine ski areas in Vermont today. Big names like Stowe, Mount Snow, and Sugarbush. But if you live just about anywhere in Vermont, chances are there used to be a ski hill right in your town. Throughout history, Vermont's had more than 180 independent ski areas, the vast majority of which have been lost to time. But one museum in Stowe is making sure they're not forgotten. Vermont Public's Sabine Pooks has more.
Digging into a lost ski area is a little bit like going on a treasure hunt.
You have to dig.
Poppy Gall was the treasure hunter, technically the curator, for the new Searching for Vermont's Lost Ski Areas exhibit. In the last year alone, she's found 10 additional defunct ski areas that she never knew existed in a place she thought she knew pretty well.
You know, I've spent a lot of time traveling around Vermont. I've
I've visited every town in Vermont. And to know that there were these ski areas, and I had no idea. So now I want to go back and, like, poke around more.
But the Vermont Ski and Snowboard Museum, where Gall is a board member, is smack dab in the middle of one of Vermont's very alive ski towns, Stowe. In recent years, the museum has held exhibits on ski fashion and Vermont's history of snowboarding. Last season was the first installment in its series on lost ski areas in southern Vermont. And after a year of additional research, Gall is ready to present part two.
One thing that we discovered last year was Brad and Janet Mead, who started Pico. The year before they started Pico, they had this Framar Farm little ski area in Mendon, and we never knew about it. And to learn through a newspaper ad in the Rutland Herald, I mean, that would just felt like such a win. Like, oh my gosh, we discovered something new, and we thought we really knew about these people.
Gall designs outdoor apparel and is a big skier herself. The sport is part of her family's story. Her parents met in Aspen, and she grew up in southern Vermont, going to Snow Valley, one of the many ski areas that no longer exists.
I think skiing is really about the thrill of being out there, of being cold and warm at the same time, of the different types of snow that you encounter and have that can be a challenge or a joy. I mean, it's just such a joyous physical feeling to be one with the snow.
In the early days, skiing down a mountain first required hiking up it. It wasn't until the 1930s that a group of Vermont skiers decided to bring home the technology they had seen in Quebec, a rope tow that, with a motor, pulled skiers up so they could save their energy for the descent. Those skiers built a rope tow of their own at Gilbert's Hill in Woodstock, using an old Model T engine.
That really just set off the craze.
Ski areas multiplied in those early years as local farmers and community groups put their land, resources, and willpower together.
So it was like the community swimming pool in the summer. You could drop your kid off at the tow and give them a quarter for hot chocolate or two hot chocolates and just leave them.
Skiing got another boost after the Second World War. A lot of Vermonters were drafted to the 10th Mountain Division, a branch of troops that were trained in mountaineering. There's a section of the museum dedicated to those troops who came back after the war not really wanting to return to their desk jobs. A lot of them turned to the ski business instead. In the 70s, this boom came to a grinding halt, partly due to a phenomenon that is familiar to the skiers of today, variable winters. Gall says skiers also got bored of the rope tows and bunny hills and expected more. Liability insurance became a very expensive necessity, and the state of Vermont started doing safety checks.
They scrutinized the lifts. I mean, some of these areas had one rope tow. So when the safety guy comes and says, oh, you can't run this, and they can't afford to make the changes because they've got a tin can at the bottom of the lift that says donations. I mean, some of these areas were just little blips on the map, and some didn't last very long anyway, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Skiing is a completely different beast now. It's expensive. The business is dominated by big, multinational corporations like Alterra and Vail, which together own a quarter of the mountains here in Vermont. Standing in the museum with Gall, in front of the map of old ski areas she's made, it's hard not to feel a tinge of nostalgia.
It's all great. Skiing's just great, whatever. But I do feel that it's different. Mm. Everything's smooth. All the edges are smoothed out.
But at least as far as she's concerned, they won't be forgotten. For Vermont Public, I'm Sabine Pooks.
The exhibit Searching for Vermont's Lost Ski Areas runs through next October, and you can learn more at vtssm.org. And you can learn more about the history of skiing in Vermont with the latest episode of Brave Little State. Find it at bravelittlestate.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Mary Engish, Bob Kinzel, Adia Gulston, Peter Hirschfeld, and Michaela Lefrak. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan. And our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.